Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of A Real Point of View. My name is Greg Morgan. I am your host for the evening. And my co-host joining me tonight is Mr. Larry Domkowski. He is the must-see movies film critic on the internet. And together we, along with one of our other good friends, co-host Karen D., the movie maven, try to come into your hopefully into your hearts and living rooms and definitely in your ears, listening to us talk about film and our critiques and comments and questions and all those wonderful things. So without further ado, let's get started. But let me ask you, Larry, how are you doing?
Hey, you know, I'm doing good. Autumn has finally come to Chicago, and actually, a couple of weeks ago, I came to Chicago, but we're doing good here. A lot of leaves on the ground, and it's time to start watching some scary movies.
Indeed. October is the most, probably one of the best months to watch these kind of films. You're snuggling, hopefully, with your loved one together, or just getting undercover, getting your popcorn and all that stuff ready to be scared out of your wits, pretty
yeah.
much.
You know, my favorite way of watching a scary movie and is by myself in a dark theater I've never been to. It's just like there's nothing familiar, you know. So it's like I can't just turn to my friend or anything like that. I mean, if you want that full impact of a scary movie, you know, that's one way to go, let me tell you.
that in itself sounds a little scary, especially sadly how the world is today. That can be scary in itself, but I get the essence of the feel that you want to get out of the experience anyway. I get under a cover and be with a loved one just in case something gets a little out of hand on the screen.
Yeah. I like, you know, what you chose for tonight's tonight's show. You know, Wes Craven, and it's a shame that we lost him this year so suddenly. It really surprised a lot of the filmmaking world. And I'll tell you, especially with a couple of his franchises, really added a lot to the genre of horror, and because he took this slasher concept and he gave it something more than just being afraid of being stabbed by this unknown thing. He gave it this element of horror that's about the mind and about our own inadequacies, and you know, almost Hitchcockian with part of what he did. And he took that Hitchcockian horror and added to it that slasher type of film, and he gives us something entirely different. And then as his films continue, he starts adding humor to it. So we still have the horror, and we still have this bloody mess, and we have some real edgy humor that lets us loosen up in the seat a little bit as we're watching the film, only to have our you-know-what kicked out of us by his scare moments. You have to give him his due for his credit, or credit is due for being able to do that.
Yeah, I think that was one of the wonderful elements that Wes Craven brought to the different films he was involved in. And I think that in itself creates even that much more of a horror experience, much more frightening experience, because, as you alluded to, you let your guard down. Once you let your guard down, you're in trouble. You're done. Pretty much
mm-hmm.
you're done. So let me ask you this. Wes Craven, obviously, we're talking going back, way back into the pretty much the early 70s with films. I guess the first one, the late, The Last House on the Left, back in 72. Now, he wrote, directed, and edited this himself back then. And this was actually a pretty decent film. Since we're talking about the different films, which set of films did you like the most? Let me ask you that.
Well, I'll tell you. I really did enjoy the very first of the Nightmare on Elm Street films, and I also enjoyed the very first of the Scream things. There's also another film that he did that is totally different. I mean, totally different. He directed a movie, didn't write it, he just directed it, and it was called Music of the Heart. You know, and if you're familiar with that film, it stars Meryl Streep.
Yeah, I've actually seen it.
I'm sorry.
I've actually seen Music of the Heart twice. I'm a fan of Meryl Streep, so I just because of that I watched the film. And I enjoyed it so much the first time I saw it that I watched it again.
Yeah, and I, the only reason I'm mentioning this, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but in this film it showed that he's got the ability to do something other than horror and actually tell a really good story. Because more than anything, he's a great storyteller, and he keeps us in line. He keeps us right there with him, and it makes us just want to, take more of what he's giving us. But back to what you were saying, I got to start with this. My first experience with Wes Craven was in 1982 with The Swamp Thing.
Oh, with Adrian Barbeau.
Yeah, with good old Scream Queen Adrienne Barbeau, and with well endowed, and that was a big, again, this is a comic book thing, and I liked Swamp Thing, the comic book, so why not? I went to the theater, saw it, and I was mildly amused with it. I enjoyed it very much, but again, it's not the Wes Craven that we've all come to know and love. But after that, my radar was out, and then when Nightmare came out, it's something that I had to see, and that film just gave me the heebie-jeebies for weeks, and it was good, it was fun. I have not seen the redux of it, directed by Sam Baer, but going back to the original Nightmare on Elm Street, that was a landmark moment in horror, and Freddy Krueger is now a part of our modern lexicon.
Yes, he is. Some people would say that's not a good thing. But for me, you know, for me, you know, there's a lot of films out there that people consider horror films and horror movies. And I like the type of horror movie that gets you thinking. This was a wonderful type of horror movie in the sense that now we're talking about your thoughts, your mind, your dreams, you know, hitting you where horror hits you most. After watching a good horror movie when I was younger, that would have been probably a Dracula movie with Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing, for example. Hard to go to sleep. You're dreaming and about the vampire situation you just saw, and it scared you while you were awake, so now you're scared in your dreams. So here's Wes Craven taking it that step further. And not only are you scared in your dreams, but you can die in your dreams. And it's your dreams that are affecting you even more so, because now the killer, the serial killer, is actually in your dreams. The victims are being killed in their dreams. So, you know, I like the fact that he took it that next step further. I thought that was ingenious. And, of course, that first movie, Nightmare on Elm Street, that did kind of give me pause. It made it a little harder for me to go to sleep at night. It really did.
Yeah, yeah. So it really makes you want to, you know, get more involved in that world. And more importantly, it makes you want to see more of his works. After seeing that, I went back and I went to see The Hills Have Eyes, mm-hmm. the 1977 version, and you know something, I found that I could see how he went ahead and started his thought process for this type of film, for this type of horror film. And some of it was very classic, you know, the camera locked down, you know, before the scare moment, which is a relaxing moment. It allows us to breathe for a second before, you know, the cat jumps out of the locker. Sorry for all you alien folks. And you could see him doing the right things at the right time. And yet, at the same time, you could also see him playing with it. And an example would be in Scream, in that first scene with Barrymore, and how he sets us up. Not only does he set us up for the scare moment in that scene, but he sets us up for the entire film. He gives us the visual language he's going to use to tell the story, and that is an earmark of a good filmmaker. He's not a David Lean. David Lean probably was the best at doing this of anybody, but he sets up, you know, how he's going to tell the story. He lets us know how he's going to do the scare moments, and then near the end of the film, he gives us a twist with that. And that's a big oh my God moment. And if you haven't seen the film, it is a big oh my God moment. But at that point, it ceases to become a horror film in the way that we're used to it. Now it becomes a classical horror film the way that was done all those years ago with Alfred Hitchcock. And it becomes more of a reflection on ourselves and the monsters within ourselves, and not necessarily the monster out there with a knife.
Right. Becomes more of a, not just a horror movie, but a horror thriller now. There's more to it than meets the eye. There's something out there that's not quite right that's causing all this to happen. And we're looking for the answers to what's causing this. And it makes it a little bit more intriguing to watch as opposed to just a horror film that's just out to scare you. What's really scary sometimes is the things that look and seem like they'd actually happen in real life.
And it becomes, and where the horror element comes in, if you're going classical horror, Hitchcockian type classical horror, is that we recognize the evil within ourselves as we walk away from the theater. You know, and could I do that? Am I there? And most people aren't even aware that that's the horror moment, that that's the thing that keeps them up awake at night. It's not the bump that they hear. It's the bump that they make. You know, and though they're unaware of it, and they will, and we as the movie audience, we transpose that into it's out there. It must be out there. But who's making that bump into something horrific? I am, with my imagination. You know, and frankly, ladies and gentlemen, if you start hearing real bumps in your house at night, leave.
Quickly, find the door. Don't hang around.
You know, don't pick up something, a heavy object to hit somebody with. Just leave. Get out. Go visit your grandmother, your friend, your neighbor, and enjoy the rest of your day.
If you can. Now, I have a question. Now, we talk about horror movies, we talk about horror films, and how they relate to our mental capacity and mental thoughts. How do you think Wes Craven's films, like Scream, for example, hold up against other horror films of the era, we'll say, like Halloween or I Know What You Did Last Summer? How do you think his films hold up against those films, which pretty much had all of them have this cult following?
Well, there's one thing that a film has a cult following. Jason Voorhees definitely has a cult following. Mike Myers definitely has a cult following, and Freddy Krueger definitely has a cult following. But when you look at the film, the whole film, and the filmmakers themselves, or just the whole film itself, Halloween, hey, that was the granddaddy of them all, you know, of that type of thriller. Of course, what came before that, you know, with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, that's a whole different thing going on, and I really won't mention more about that. But as far as how does it hold up, I think they hold up really well. I think that you look at Scream, you look at Nightmare on Elm Street, you look at the people under the stairs, you look at The Hills Have Eyes, and they all hold up on their own merits, and it really doesn't matter what came before. The only reason why it matters on what came before is what Wes Craven uses in his films. Now, I got to say this, that there are a lot of films out there that were made while Wes Craven was still alive, and it's called, like, Wes Craven's something. And you notice that if you go on IMDb, you won't see any of those there as he directed. And what that is it's movies or stories that were put together by pieces of film that were cut out of other films,
okay,
other Wes Craven films. So you'll see, like, Wes Craven's, and you name the film. And what they've done is they've gone back, for instance, to all the Freddy Krueger movies and all the stuff that was left on the cutting room floor. They'll piece things together. And he was notorious for using a lot of film, taking a lot of takes and making his actors work many hours to get the shots that he wanted. So... You gotta you, you You got to think that if they're doing that, if you're the studio and you're doing that, it means that you know that there's an audience for this and you know what's going to sell. And his stuff does sell. People buy it. And this is how I'm answering your question, Greg. People want his stuff, and they want anything with his name on it, and he's got a definite following for that. And so, yeah, it holds up, and it holds up real well.
Now, along the same lines as far as this question is concerned, I'm going to expand it a little bit. Now, it holds up against those other similar type films. What about a film that you and I know we both like, and a film that to me was one of those great breakout type films that made horror be a little bit more cerebral for me, and that was The Exorcist. How do you think it holds up against that film? Now, that film came out around the same time as his earlier film. So this is, I think Scream is another maybe 10 years later, or not Scream, but Nightmare on Elm Street is like another 10 years later. So here we have this film that seemed like everybody was trying to watch, and it has its own following. How do you think it holds up against The Exorcist?
Well, gosh, I was, it came out in when it came out, The Exorcist is probably just as, is just as important as to what was in the film. It came out the day after Christmas in 1973. And so everybody's in this holier and happy and everything, and then suddenly you see this film. And this film, again, changes everything. It changes the whole world of what horror is. There's no slashers in this. There's no, but what it is, it's horror that's based upon the religious norms of our culture. You know, so it's going directly in the face of what we worship, what we think is true and good, and it really scared the pants off of me. I mean, holy smokes. You know what, I was 15 when I saw this film, and that's big, that's a lot, you know, when Linda Blair, and the funny thing about it was, the silliest part for me was when Linda Blair turned her head around.
Right.
But what was more frightful for me is seeing the reaction of her family, seeing the reaction of the priests, seeing the reaction of the people around her, and then somewhere in the film, we transpose ourselves, and now I'm one of the people who are reacting to her. And wow, again, I've placed myself in the film with such a good storytelling that we place ourselves in the story, and that could be me standing right next to her.
Yeah, you know you're seeing a good film when you can actually feel like that.
Yeah.
You know, we watch a lot of movies, especially you and I and our associates. We watch a lot of movies. But the thing about a really good movie is it gives you the sense that either you're there or it's a part of your life or part of the people you know, is familiar. And I think one of the scariest things about Wes Craven's films, about The Exorcist, Halloween, all those similar films, is the fact that, like you alluded to, you're putting yourself in the situation yourself. You have a feeling that this could happen. You have a feeling that, you know, you're more empathetic with what's going on because you feel like this could be you. And I think that adds that other element of horror. You know, something scares, something frightens us, but what's more frightening is the fact that this could happen to you or someone you know, or you're feeling like you're there, and we don't want to put ourselves there, not truly, but somehow these films have a way of, you know, gathering us in. You know, I think
you know, one of the things I'd like to mention real quick, because I know that we're running out of time, is just to show that how well his films are time-tested is how many times it's been spoofed or how many times, like the Scary movies, you know, and you know, and the Scream face, or the films and comic books, you know, Freddy versus Jason. You know, again, this is something our culture's embraced. We've taken Wes Craven's ideas and made them part of our culture. We have, you know, it's almost you know, one of those things that, yeah, when I'm frightened, that's how I feel like. Or yeah, you know, the scariest. Have you ever done this, Greg? Have you ever asked the person what's the scariest moment in a movie that you've ever experienced? And if and you and I know yet, because you and I used to talk about that when we were in college. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. and we go, no wait, and then somebody would say, well, what about this movie? And we'd all go, yeah. And this is a part of what Wes Craven has given us.
Yeah, more conversation, more ability to be able to debate some of these things. And I think also, too, you know, sometimes we talk about seeing sequels, and we're not always very favorable about sequels. But, you know, it's one thing about having a good, as you alluded to, franchise in film, that people keep going back for more and more and more. A lot of times critics out there, other than ourselves, and including ourselves, talk about, you know, these sequels and, you know, it wasn't that great a movie. But you know what? A lot of these horror movies, especially Wes Craven's films, have a good base. And so the next movie and the next movie, still gain your interest. Gain your interest because you were interested in the first place. There are some movies out there that weren't that great in the beginning, didn't have that good base, and so making a sequel made no sense to me. But movies like this, directors and producers like this, good writers like this, have a good base, then having another movie is not so bad because you're still working off of something that was had. Really good in the beginning, real good creation in the beginning. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting close to the end of our show here on Blog Talk Radio. We do have an after show that's going to go through Hangouts on Air, so you're more than welcome to join us there. And we'll continue our conversation about Wes Craven, but also horror movies, the evil that's behind all this. Maybe even go into some other realms of horror now that this is October and Halloween is just around the corner. What really prompted me to even talk about Wes Craven initially was one of our listeners had written in and was adamant about, hey, you know, you guys need to put something about horror out there. So we're going to continue that on in our after the show on Hangouts on Air. And we appreciate you listening to us here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back next week with something different. And we hope that you guys tune in. So if you have any questions, you can send us comments through Blog Talk Radio, A Real Point of View on Facebook. And you can hit me up on Twitter, at Real Movie Guy. And what about you, Larry?
I'm on Facebook, and I've got a must-see movies and just a bunch of mini-reviews. So that's what I'm all about.
Well, thanks again, everybody, for listening in here on Blog Talk Radio. And you guys have a nice night, and make sure you do everything you can to get out there and watch a good film. And we hope that we've mentioned a few films here that we'd like you to see, and, of course, a few films you might want to avoid as well. But thanks again for listening, and you guys have a good night.